Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Warren. It's Warren Valentine.
Let me just say, I did not come here to show out. I did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
It's the Warren Valentine Show.
All right, welcome to the second hour of the show. As we were going into this hour, coming out of the last hour, I was talking about how this is way bigger than what we think. And this argument of separating between white and black or Hispanic and Asian, and if you put people who only look like each other together and they live in the same place, they're going to eventually fight too. They're going to have disagreements, they're going to have arguments, they're going to have wars. History tells me that every tribe in Africa was fighting each other at some point. The Europeans fought each other, ate each other, cannibalized each other. History tells me that. I'm not making this up. This is factual. And they did this within their own people and their own sets or sex. So this isn't something that's new. This ain't something that's new at all. This is. You know, if we go back in time and we do that, all that's going to happen is that literally you're going to have people doing what they do, and it's going to end up being wars anyway. So, how do we talk solutions? I think we have to talk more from a reality base than a perception base, right? What's the reality? I'm a deal with the reality for black people. I'm a deal with reality for poor people, right? And then I'm a deal with the reality for humanity. Reality for black people. Most black people are born into a situation where it may be some stability, but it may not be a lot of money. That's just facts, okay? But black people, unlike any other ethnic group, has a unique way of being able to survive, adapt. And because they have this uniqueness about them, of being able to survive and adapt, they always seem to carry on. But the problem that we have today in Black America, to me, and this is just my personal belief. The problem that we have is not that we can't survive. The problem that we have is that somebody else is controlling our reality. And because somebody else is controlling our reality, they're creating a perception that we fall into believing, and then thus we make it our own reality. Well, Warren, what are you talking about? Let me give you a couple examples. Today, I want you to do me a favor. You in your car, you at work, whatever. Turn on the local hip-hop station in your community. Listen to the music that they play for you on that hip-hop station for about 20 minutes. Then turn on the top 40 station in your same city. Then turn on the country station in your same city. After you listen to these three different genres of music, you should know right away who's getting fed the toxic, dirty, nasty stuff, and who's being fed uplifting or emotionally moving stuff. Right? So, you got to understand that, quite frankly, if you just look at the reality of it is that on our stations, toxic stuff is constantly playing. Constantly. So, if you are growing up poor, impoverished, economically disadvantaged, and the only thing you listening to is toxic music, and in that music is giving you a perception that's not your reality, eventually that perception becomes your reality. I need to be a stick-up kid. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. Because you're getting fed constantly over and over and over and over again toxic things. Now, if you don't believe that stuff like that works, just think about it. On Monday, they'll play a song. You'll be like, that's the worst song in the world. By Friday, they have played it so much. By Friday, you know the words of the song. If you listen to a station every day, Monday through Friday, and they break a song on Monday, if they break it at 9 o'clock, that song is going to be in rotation at least 200 times in that day. And it's going to be like that every single day. They are training you to like it. I'll give you another example of this. It's your parents. If you are a Muslim, you probably grew up in a Muslim home. If you are a Christian, a Baptist, you probably grew up in a Baptist home. Now, some of us, as we got older and started really researching stuff ourselves, realized that our parents did not know everything. But if you are not one of these people who had the chance to research or get out of the economic oppression that you were in, you believe that's the gospel truth, because the reality for you is that's all you know. You don't know nothing outside of what you see and deal with every single day. You got to understand, your perception becomes your reality. And so for Black America, we've accepted toxicity into our community. Let me show you how brainwashed we are. If you go into any major city and you go into the Black part of that city, it is two things on every other corner in that Black part of that city. I don't care if the city is abundantly rich or it got 10 residents. You will find these two things on one of those corners, right across from each other or next door to each other. A church and a liquor store. A church and a liquor store. Because we've been taught and trained to believe church is where we need to be. And then when you're having problems, liquor will help you get over it. So when you go into our neighborhoods, we got so many churches. You can take any neighborhood in Chicago, Atlanta, New York, hell, even Flint, Michigan. You go in any neighborhood, in a 1 mile radius, you might find 25 churches. I mean, this is all day, every day. Because the two things that they trying to get you to always lean on is religion and liquor. Why? Because religion is going to tell you your reward comes when you go to heaven. If you poor now, don't worry about it. When you die, you'll get your reward. You struggling now, don't worry about it. You'll get your reward when you die. You're going to be able to walk on the streets of gold when you die. It's okay to be impoverished while you're alive. It's okay. But when you die, you're going to get your gold. Now, I'm sorry, y'all. But logically, that don't make sense to me. And don't get me wrong, because I love God. I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But logically, that don't make sense to me. Let me tell you why logically that don't make sense to me. Because I'm a parent. God's my father. I'm his child. I know what I want for my child. I don't want my child poor. I don't want my child struggling. I don't want my child sick. So I'm supposed to believe that's what God wants for me? That's what I'm supposed to believe. Man, I don't know about that. That logically don't make sense to me. And see, I'm going to tell you how great perception is, right, versus reality. I'm finna mess with y'all now. Do y'all realize William Shakespeare never existed? All these plays by Shakespeare, all of that. William Shakespeare did not exist. He allegedly helped write the Bible and everything for King James, but he didn't exist. He was the Bin Laden of medieval times. You listening to the WB.
I'm not saying that he doesn't like white people. I'm saying he has a problem. He has a, this guy is, I believe, a racist. What?
Post-racial, by all appearances. You know, I forgot he was black tonight for an hour. We've already donated to Haiti. It's called the U.S. income tax.
It is as though we're still on a plantation.
Warren Valentine, the number one truth fighter in America.
All right, so you know we have a lot of stuff that we think we know because the perception was given it to us. We made it our reality, but it really isn't reality. And so we literally have to look at this from a different point of view. Because see, we keep looking at this from a point of view of we poor, we black, we ain't got no money, it's bad, it's not gonna get any better, it's nothing we can do. Disagree with that. So Thursday, I'm not gonna do the show live. I'm gonna show y'all something right quick. This all melts in together. I'm not doing the show live Thursday because I gotta go to the doctor that morning. Now, the reason I gotta go to the doctor that morning is because when I had surgery for my hernia, my doctor found out that part of the reason that my metabolism isn't working the way it's supposed to work, right? Because he was just like, literally, you should be like 40 pounds smaller based on the test. He was like, but something was going on. So we looked while we were inside of you. What they found out was that my stomach, instead of pushing the food through the way it's normally supposed to do and burning the fat, what it's doing is it's trying to push it up through my esophagus. So because I was like, man, I keep having heartburn. I don't understand why I'm having heartburn. And then, you know, I was like, do I just get acid reflux or what? So he was like, well, let me look. And then when he looked and saw everything, he's like, no, he was like, it's pushing up. We need to go in there and reroute this. And he was like, you know, once we reroute this, you'll lose like 30 pounds immediately. And then your weight will level off of that point. And he was like, so if you're just working out, you know, doing normal things, you should be fine. So I said, okay. So we'll go in, you know, do the tests, for the final pre-op stuff to get this surgery done. Cause it's an in and out surgery. It ain't nothing, you know, well, I'm gonna be laid up in the hospital for days or nothing like that. So I said, okay, you know, I don't like having surgery. It's my fourth one, but you know, surgery, you gotta do it. You gotta do it. But I'm saying that to say this, right? What he was saying, the reason why I had to have the surgery, cause I was like, well, why do I even need to have the surgery if it's not that serious? And he was like, because you don't want the toxic in your body to build up. Because once you build the toxicity up in your body, it can cause cancer. It can cause all kind of other things that could be very, very deadly to you. Now, this is what's happened in the black community. All right. This is what's happened in the black community. In the black community, we've allowed the toxicity to grow to such a level that it's eating us alive. It's eating us alive. And so now we have to do something to clean out all that, all those toxics. See, that's the thing. We got to change what we eat. And see, that was my thing. I was like, hey, I could fast. I could do it. He's like, it don't matter. That ain't got nothing to do with this. He's like, we got to reroute how things are going in order for us to fix it. He said, you can stop eating and you still gonna have this problem. So it is the same thing with us right now. We have to. We have to get all the toxic stuff out. Now, how do we do that? Everybody who's boycotting, you know, I saw they wanted to go down to Florida to march for the Stand Your Ground law. Sharpton called for a march. And I just looked at that and shook my head. I'm like, what? What is this going to do? BET is airing Trayvon's mom and daddy right now, and that law is still on the books. They lost their son. They got nationally known, but they lost their son. And the law is still on the books. And so, literally, what we need to do is what? Change the law. Change the law. The marching is not going to change that law. If we want to change what's going on, we got to change the toxic in the community, the music. Everybody want to boycott with Kaepernick. I'm boycotting the NFL. I'm boycotting the NFL. What about the NFL? They're not responsible for what's going on in our communities. Y'all realize that, right? What's going on in our communities is because of the music, because of the fact that we don't have economic development. Football ain't got nothing to do with that. It ain't got nothing to do with that at all. We should be boycotting these radio stations that's playing this toxic music. Like I told you, if you turn on a rap station, on your local rap station anywhere in this country, listen to it and listen to the top 40 and listen to how differently they sound. We need to literally remove the toxic stuff. If we remove the toxic stuff, guess what happens? The body becomes whole. It becomes healed. It becomes refreshed. It becomes viable again. If we remove this perception and this music and change these kids' reality, look, what we should be doing in the black community is following LeBron James's lead. LeBron started this school to cut off the present to the pipeline from education. But now we need to do our part. We can't build a school, but you know what we can do? We can demand that these kids don't grow up listening to this toxic stuff. We can demand that these laws aren't set up for them to be gunned down and people get away with it because they can stand their ground. We can demand that our teachers are able to teach in a way where our kids can genuinely learn it, not just off of something that somebody decided they wanted to put in every public school, even if it don't make sense to do it. And see, those are things that we can control. This ain't about white folks. This ain't even about the government. This is about us. This is about us taking control of the situation and changing it. And those are things that we can do. It's easy for us to do this stuff, but we only want to march when somebody's shot. We only want to pray when somebody's dead. We only want to open our mouths when something's already happened. When are we going to look at this and say, let's detox? Let's get rid of all this negative stuff and put some positive stuff in here and see what happens. Now, we come back. Let's talk about poverty. How do we change that? You listen to the WB.
There's so many young people dying in the streets, and education is a way to change that and opportunity. Mr. President, how do we emphasize this?
Well, look, the most important thing starts with parenting. Talking to young people constantly about the need to be focused on education. To do the second thing we've got to do is we've got to make sure we've got great teachers in the classroom.
What I want you to take seriously is what we have to do for the youth.
Carry on the struggle.
Warren Valentine, coast to coast and around the world.
Your child is my child. My child is your child. We should be looking out for each other's kids and working together to make sure that all these kids have a great opportunity, even if they come from a household that's not perfect.
Warren, I completely agree.
Join the Truth Fighters in full effect right now.
All right. So let's talk poverty in this country. Poverty affects everybody. And one of the things that I want us to understand is this. It's a time and place for everything. Now, like I said, Reverend Sharpton is calling for a march down in Florida and Clearwater for this young man dying over the Stand Your Ground law. The march is for what? If you don't have something else following up the march, meaning that do you have a lawsuit trying to remove the Stand Your Ground law? Do you have a meeting with the governor to ask him to go in and veto it, remove it off the books? Are you meeting with local lawmakers or people who are running for office and telling them, look, either you vote to remove this or we're going to run somebody against you or tell people not to vote for you? I mean, see, this is the thing. The perception is I'm going down here to fight. But the reality of it is it's a march. Everybody come, everybody leave. That's the end of it. That's the reality. That's the reality. And the sad thing about it is, especially in the black community, we want to blame this on racism. We want to blame this on the government. And the reality of it is that we can fix all this. We got the power to fix. You don't need nobody else to do this. We can do it. We can do it. But we keep trying to separate for all the wrong reasons. This is why poverty is so rampant in America. Let me tell you why poverty is the way it is. Is because the 1% has convinced all the poor people in this country to separate. We separate because of religion. You're Muslim, you're Christian. So what? What difference does that make? You know why? Because you both believe in what? God. You both believe in God. So what difference does it make if you're Muslim and this person is Christian? You separate because you're black and you're white. Wait a minute. It's people who look like me that treat me bad. Just like it's people who look like a white person who treat me bad. So shouldn't I just be friends with people who treat me right? I mean, it's logical to me, right? I mean, we have to have a different mindset and get rid of all this toxic stuff and get rid of all these things. And we got to have a mindset of understanding that somebody else's fight is our fight. Let me give you a perfect example of this. It's a video going around right now with some Mexicans who ICE came in and raided their plant and took two of the Mexicans away. Every other Mexican in the plant walked off. Everyone. Imagine if poor people did that. If all poor people came together and said, look, we're going to go against the 1% together. We ain't got to like each other. We ain't got to have the same religion. We ain't got to have the same beliefs. But we do have one thing in common. The 1% is getting, do you realize the 1% is getting almost 24% of all the wealth in the world? And everybody else in the world is splitting 76%. Do you realize how much that's being? 700 billion people is splitting 76% of all other money's made. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. But we have to have the mentality of one person's fight is your fight too. It's not their fight. It's your fight. My Latino brothers did that at that plant. They say, man, y'all gonna call ICE on our boys? Deuces. Deuces. Imagine if we had that mentality. Right? Now, look, I'm gonna show you something, right? I hate to be this way, but I'm gonna be this way. So, I told y'all, I said, look, I'm gonna write this book. Y'all buy the book. I'm not even gonna take the proceeds of the book. I'm gonna take the proceeds of the book and try to do a trip for y'all where everything is paid for. Y'all coming down there, you just gotta get there. Now, the reason I'm doing that is because I want us to all get in the room and strategize and put solutions out where we can work together. Now, with me saying that, you would think everybody who come on here, everybody who support would be like, not only am I buying 5 books, I'm going to tell everybody I know to buy 5 books. Let's make this a bestseller immediately so we can do this. Now, I look at so many of these other people who are on radio and television and everything else. They'll write a book. They take all the proceeds. They ain't trying to do nothing for the people buying the book. They ain't trying to get together with them and help them. It's about their pocket. It ain't about your pocket. It ain't about trying to get you together to do something. But see, we don't understand this mentality, man. It's a perception versus reality thing. Because you know what it is? Let me tell you what's so funny about people, especially poor people. If poor people think you need them, they won't do nothing for you. But if they think you don't need them, they won't do everything for you. It's crazy when you think about it. It's absolutely nuts. But that's the way people think. I mean, really, I've been to an award show, okay? I've been to the BET Awards twice. I've been to Soul Train Awards, right? When you part of the award, they give you a gift bag. I got a gift bag from BET and from Soul Train. Each one of them bags had to be $3,500 worth of stuff in the bags. And they giving them to everybody who's a part of, whether if you were voting and whatever, because I was voting, I was part of they voting block. $3,500 bags. Now, instead of giving me a $3,500 bag, why y'all didn't help the people in the audience who, you know, this may be they one trip, they one vacation, they one ticket thing that they can afford to do? That's who we should be helping. But maybe I'm stupid. You know, maybe I'm the stupid one because I'm always the one like, well, what about these people over here? Maybe I'm the dumb one. I don't know. But to me, poverty is something that literally we've allowed the 1% to dictate who's going to be impoverished in this country. And instead of us collectively coming together and saying no more to the 1%, we would rather stay divided. I don't like you because you're white. I don't like you because you're black. I don't like you because you're Muslim. I don't like you because you're Christian. That's crazy to me. I mean, it's absolutely crazy to me. What I do with my bag, oh, I gave my mama a whole bunch of stuff. My sisters got a bunch of stuff, you know, because they had like makeup and girl stuff in there. You know, I get at all of my sisters and mama. So. And Eunice, I'm not saying that they bought the bag. I don't know who puts the bag together. Anybody can put the bag together for them. I'm just saying what was given out. They could have took that and gave it to the audience to me. It made more sense to me. So it's just, even with these award shows, right? Why don't we do a fundraiser on these award shows to help the community? All these people who are praising LeBron James, why don't you say, okay, well, we want to do something even a step further. We want to create trade schools for free throughout the nation. Throughout the nation. See, this to me, this is the perception versus reality argument in a nutshell, because the perception is that we're a capitalistic country and you can do anything in America. You can be great in America. They always tell these stories. These people came here with $1. Look at them now. And they give you this perception that you can do anything. That's not facts, y'all. The reality is that in order to be a capitalistic country, you must have a rich, a middle class, or working class, and poor. You must have poverty. So somebody has to fall into the poverty category. Somebody has to fall into that category. That's the reality. The perception is you can come to America. It's the greatest country in the world. You can do anything you want to do here. You can be anything you want to be. Lies. Because the reality of it is that only 1% is going to get to do that. Everybody else is going to fall into the working class or into the poverty bucket. Think about it. If you look at the percentage of people who've really made it in America, it's 1%. Everybody else is working middle class or in the impoverished bucket. Just really think about that. Think about how big money church has become. stuff that was supposed to be for us, NAACP, NAN, Operation Push, multi-million dollar companies. Think about that. You're listening to the WB.
Welcome back to the Warren Valentine Show. Heard coast to coast and border to border, giving the truth fighters a voice in the call for justice. Join the truth fighters in full effect right now. Right now. Right now.
All right, let me thank everybody who listens to the show, everybody who watches the show. Tell your friends and family members about the church show, please. Let me close out the show like this. All right. So if you don't believe anything that I've said today, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to show you something so that you may be able to get a greater understanding of how division and how anger and fear will drive the 1% to try to keep division going no matter what. This past weekend, the president of the United States put out a tweet about LeBron James that he was being interviewed by the dumbest man in the universe. And that the dumb man actually made LeBron look smart, which is very hard. I like Mike. Now, this was because LeBron said he wouldn't sit down with him. He said that he thought the man was trying to divide the country. Now, if the president was not trying to divide the country, the response to that would have probably been, hey, sorry you feel that way. Maybe if we sit down and talk, you can see my side of you. But no, what did he do? He put this tweet out, and that tweet literally showed how divisive this president could be. All right. Now, it was so bad that his wife turned around and took the side of LeBron James. But it was also bad because of this. Once he put that tweet out, he's making people have to choose between him and LeBron. Now, the only thing LeBron has done is say, I wouldn't sit down and meet with him. Outside of what other thing did LeBron do? Let's think about it. LeBron created a school that cuts the president to the pipeline for poor kids in his hometown of Akron. And because of that, this is why LeBron is going to have problems. I told you they were going to mess with this boy from this point on. LeBron's going to have problems from this point on because of what he chose to do. This has nothing to do with LeBron not wanting to meet with President Trump. This has to do with the fact that they don't want this to become normal for people with money to help people who are impoverished. The system doesn't work like that, y'all. If the system is changed in any way, it breaks the matrix. It breaks it completely down. Completely down. It is sad to look at it and understand it and see what they're doing. Somebody put on here pipeline. Let me explain why it's a pipeline. You must don't listen to the show a lot, but I'll explain it to you. We live in a capitalistic country. By definition, in order to have a capitalistic country, you must have a poor, a working middle class, and the rich. That's what capitalism is. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay. They've created this in education now. If you go into any public school system across the country, especially in the most impoverished areas, you have three levels of education. You have the underperforming kid, you have the average kid, and then you got the kid that's taking the honor classes. That is the 1%, the rich, the middle class is the average kid, the poor is the underperforming kid. Now, how can I be so definite in that statement? If you look at any public school system, if you look at these kids, once they hit third grade, whatever track they fall into in third grade, is their educational track for life. This is how the prisons can look inside of a third grade area and say, we need to build this many prisons in 20 years. Because based on, let's say you have a geographic area of, let's say, a 10-mile radius. Let's say in that 10-mile radius, there's 20 schools, 20 elementary schools. Let's say in that 20 elementary schools, you have an average of 30 kids per class, underperforming, average, and above average. Well, what they do at third grade is say, how many of these 30 kids are going to be on track for underperforming? If it's 20 out of the 30 in every classroom, you get 20 classrooms with 20 students. So that's 20 times 20 would be 400. So you got 400 students that you can anticipate are going to be impoverished. Out of that 400, they estimate 80% of that class will have some interaction with the prison system. So then they take that number and decide how to build the prisons. This is why it's called the pipeline to prison, because in that moment, before the kid even starts his life or her life, they're being tracked to go to jail. They're being tracked. So you have to understand that this whole matrix that we got going on is quite frankly set up perfectly for the 1%, because you always ensure that you're going to have this poverty, which is going to create jobs and opportunity. And because you can do that, and this is what's different though today. It used to be a black-white thing. It's not black-white no more. It's class. It's you can be poor and white and have the same issue, same problem. Okay? Even Michael Jordan had enough sense to say, hey, look, I support LeBron James. In fact, it made Michael Jordan put $7 million up to help. But the key is, they don't want other superstars to do or other rich folks to do what LeBron James has chosen to do. It breaks the matrix. And the matrix has to stay the same in order for capitalism to exist, order for the 1%. So while we're dividing because of race, because of religion, and because of everything else, you need to always remember this. We may have come here on different ships, but if you ain't in that 1%, everybody's on the same boat, and ain't nobody got a life jacket on right now. Look, if you don't do nothing else, tell somebody you love them and appreciate them. May not get the chance tomorrow. That's why I tell you every day, I love you with the love of Jesus. Not trying to push religion on you. I don't even claim religion. I claim spirituality. But it's the greatest love I know. So I love you with that love. God bless you. Please buy the book. Buy it for your friends, your organizations. Get it out there. Let's make this a bestseller, y'all. Please. God bless you. Talk to you guys tomorrow right here on the WB.